Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. Midweek edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke. Danny's smiling. Played some golf yesterday. Came in kissing both biceps. And let's just say he showed me the stack he won. Hope you're doing all right. We'll talk some golf. Mike Schuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, is coming up 30 minutes away. Cedric Golden, Austin American statesman. He knows all things college football, NBA. We will get to both with Cedric in about 15 minutes. And in hour two, Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Brandon Vogel is incredible. The yearbook should be in your mailbox. Or subscribe now, HailVarsity.com/subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER. Gets it done for you, 10 issues. Just bundle it, man. Get the premium content that's incredible. Derek Peterson and, yes, Mr. Greg Smith, Jacob Padilla, Mike Babcock. It is phenomenal. So Vogues is with us in 1 hour. Lars Anderson is in the midst of a rainstorm down in Alabama. But Lars is going to be with us at 525. Can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Follow us. Find us on Twitter. Can do so at Danny Burke 5, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity. Emails, please. Got a great email from Nate the Husker fan. We'll try to get to that in a little bit. Chris at HailVarsity.com. Danny, what do you know?
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. Like you said, I got to hit the links yesterday. First time I got out this year. I've been to the range a couple times, but finally got to play.
Range is overrated.
Nine, so. Yeah, exactly. So I finally had to get out there. My buddy took me. And
yeah, Shuey's helping you.
Exactly. I did better than I thought. So I'm still going to need some lessons from Shuey, though, continuously.
All right. Make sure Shuey gets a cut. Make sure I get a cut. It'll
Absolutely.
Work out. I need a finder's fee on that. Good stuff, as mentioned, from Brandon Vogel. We spent time Monday talking about 6-6 as a Nebraska fan, being better than 6-6, and a tremendous story today with Vogues. We'll get into some thoughts that Uncle Jerry had as well about Nebraska. And plenty of NBA and NFL stuff, too. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but just an incredible story on the NFL and millennials from the Bleacher Report. So, I mean, I love that. We're just jam-packed today. But 6-6, the sequel, and a very poignant question was asked and put out there by Vogues, and I would expand on it. And when you look at a team that's 6-6, when you look at a team that is kind of pegged that way because of schedule, because of transition, because of depth. How talented are they? The starting 11. Okay, they're as talented as anybody in the West. They may be as talented as at least half the East. And then there's a drop-off. There's a drop-off with Penn State. There's a drop-off with Ohio State. There's a drop-off as we talk right now with Michigan State from just a buildup, a record of an impressive wins. What have you collected? What have you proven on the field? And Nebraska's proven nothing right now. They know that. But there's a lot of angst to prove 4-8 will never happen again. There's a lot to prove and a lot to do when it comes to getting back on track from a culture standpoint. And then the rest follow with scheme and identity. Playmakers, skill people, toughness, all of that good stuff, okay? But when it comes to 6-6 and you ask how you get better than 6-6, are you 7-5? Are you 8-4? Are you 9-3? Are you 10-2? You know where I'm going. How do you get to that point where you are challenging, where you're getting into that elite category, or you're not just, you hope to always be a contender, but that contender jump to being a threat. All right? Penn State's a threat. Ohio State's a threat. Iowa, dare I say, a threat because they know what they do. They're physical. And they develop. Same with Wisconsin. Wisconsin's just a monster right now. So with Nebraska getting to 6-6, and how do teams that are 6-6 blatantly overachieve? Like going from 6-7 to 13-0 in Central Florida. You did that because you had incredible coaching. You did that because you got buy-in. You did that because you got a roster full of dudes that are pretty freaking good, and they got put in the right place to succeed, and you did that a couple of ways. What do you think about Central Florida when you think about them and Frost and last year? Were there a lot of close games? A couple. Did they eventually wear out people and win in blowout fashion? Yeah, the levee broke. Crank up Zeppelin. Their offense killed you, overwhelmed you. Why? Because of the tempo, because of the quarterback, because of the play calling. And the defense got him the football. Defense was sick at making turnovers. The defense was good at being tough. Defense could tackle people. The defense was aggressive. They were on your quarterback's back like it was piggyback time. They were that good. Were they all world defensively? No, they were good enough, and they knew what they wanted to do, and that's take the football away. That's make some tackles. That's be tough. They did it with kind of their way, their style. So if Nebraska, Danny, is to make a jump beyond 6-6, it'll be for a couple of reasons. We have talked about defense. We have talked about quarterback play. And if you had to pick which one you have most faith in right now, because we've seen neither with this new scheme, with these new coordinators, with these new coaches, and on one half of the fray with the new personnel, you have some old personnel in a new system. What makes Nebraska likely to jump and overachieve next year? What wins out? What tips the scale? Is it defense or is it quarterback play? Where is Casino Danny putting his money on? Quarterback play or the defense?
I'm putting my money the same place where everyone's most excited about, and that's quarterback play.
What?
I think our offense is going to be insane. It's going to be fun to watch, like everyone's excited about. There's so much potential, a lot of talent on there. Compared to the defense, we don't have every working piece figured out. It doesn't seem like everything is clicked. Not saying that necessarily the offense is clicked. We don't even have an official starting quarterback, but I think whoever it is will have enough talent to dictate whether we have a good season or a great season.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you're going to take good. But what turns good into incredible, storybook, fairy tale, championship is quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Defense needs to be good, but if defense is bad, has a bad Saturday, what elevates you? It's quarterback play. That we're on the same page. And what is going to constitute a miraculous jump? And Vogue's asked this question and laid it out there. You know, what's more likely to happen? Pretty good quarterback play, difference-making quarterback play, a guy that doesn't have to go win it for you, but won't lose it. And Nebraska's had situations where the quarterback play has lost them games. There's been instances, too, where it's the quarterback's gone out and won games. All right? You've had both. But what are you going to get consistently? And defensively, Nebraska was ranked in the hundreds. It's probably putting it nicely. I don't know where they were, but they weren't last, but they were they were getting close to that zip code more so than a top 50 defense. So how far can the defense jump in year one? If you're in the hundreds last year as a defense, as a defense that didn't sack the quarterback at all, the corners didn't have interceptions, it was prevent, it was conservative, and I don't think you're going to have any problem flipping the switch and getting guys to go ball out. I don't think so at all. it's more so a personality question than anything. Are guys going to be aggressive or are they going to be passive? And if you're going to be passive, you're going to go find the aggressive guys. Simple. Offensively, I think you can hit and exceed what you're putting up points per game. This offense will be exciting. It'll be fun. It'll cause some problems for defenses. And if they can get the line, the skill guys, everybody in shape to run this tempo, it'll be money.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, man, that's the question. I think quarterback play is key when you want to go and make that jump, right, from outperforming your projection of 6-6. Quarterback play will be key for this offense because that's what your identity is. That's what you're going to hang your hat on is just an explosive, go-kill-you type offense. Defensively, though, what's a fair jump? Are they top 50? Are they top 30? That'd be extremely excessive. Can they find their way beyond 70? Can they be a top 60 defense? What gets it done for you enough? You don't have to be great. You don't even have to be good, but be better. What does better mean? That's the question. Let's talk quarterbacks, though. And listen, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I think I know who the quarterback's going to be, and that's Adrian Martinez. And I think Adrian Martinez is the guy that can trigger this. He has the mental approach. He has the skill set. And he has the ability to be a difference maker. That's what's been it when Clemson's gone on this run. That's what separated Bama from everybody. And that's really what held Bama back, too, when they weren't going undefeated or they weren't only going 12-1. When they did lose, they lost to who? They lost to Johnny Football. They lost to Cam. I mean, they lost to great quarterbacks. They lost to Cardale. Okay? And I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but he was really, really good with a lot of pieces around him. Okay? So, yeah, what is going to help make that jump for Nebraska if they outperform their projections?
I think one thing to also look at, in Brandon's article, he said that a bunch, when they were looking at the QBRs, mm-hmm. a bunch of those quarterbacks who had really good QBRs were first-year quarterbacks. So I think that's why it's potential for our quarterback, whoever it's going to be, to have a more effective season right away than a whole defense.
No, I know. It's just one guy.
Yeah.
Versus 11. Let's try and define what's okay defensively, though. I mean, you're going to give up 21 to 24 points in football.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it is. But what can you generate from a points off turnovers? What can your turnover margin become? What's the yards after contact look like? What's the yards per carry look like? What's the yards after catch number look like? I mean, all those things were just, God, they were filthy last year. They were just bad. And guys lost faith, and guys checked out, and guys didn't buy in. They quit believing as much as anything. And I think you got some guys on the defensive side of the ball that, man, this is their last rodeo, so they'll bring it, and they'll bring everybody with them, and they'll do their damnedest. That's all you can ask. But quarterback play, as you look at it, if you're Nebraska, I mean, you're going to be back in the saddle for a long time because you've got a true difference maker. We kind of hit on this yesterday when it comes to quarterback evaluation and quarterback development. And then the final piece of that is, what are you doing with that talent? Not only are you developing it from a skill standpoint and an execution standpoint, but man, you are pushing all the right buttons come play calling time. That's pretty awesome to think about if you're a Nebraska fan. But again, when you overachieve that 6-6 number, if it does happen for Nebraska, it'll be your quarterback play that does it, and you can really overachieve defensively if you do get the football back. And we'll get into some topics with what Coach DiNardo talked to the World Herald about, and he's mentioned to us a few times as well as far as Nebraska and recruiting and identity. So we'll dive into that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Nebraska has a breakout season year one. What's the reason, in your opinion? Is it because the defense is going to be something that's special? Or is it because you think the quarterback play can be really, really special, and that will be kind of the game changer for Nebraska? Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. So we do some Salt Dog tickets now, or do you want to do that later? I think it's for Saturday night, correct?
Yep,
Saturday night. We got 10th row, 8 seats.
Yep.
And I think Saturday night's Jimmy Buffett night.
I think so, yeah.
Which is sweet. I'd like to go see Jimmy Buffett sometime. I don't know that we're doing the ticket giveaway now. Danny's staring me down saying we got to call Cedric Golden, bro. Don't tie up my phone lines.
Yeah, maybe we should wait next.
All right.
Next hour. Or well, not. Maybe not next hour, next
towards
segment.
The end of this hour.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll do that. We'll do that. We will get in touch with the Austin American statesman, Cedric Golden. We'll talk Kawhi. We'll talk Harden. We'll talk LeBron. We'll talk Tom Herman. And we'll talk some Scott Frost, some Nebraska football. Great to be with you on a Wednesday. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. And we're presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Lars Anderson, Brandon Vogel on the way. Mike Shuhart, Shuey, going to be in about 20 minutes.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 80 years and counting. How about AgriGold? Over the decades together, we built a brand that's truly different. Different because of our knowledge, different because of our passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our partners, and providing customers with the very best seed, always backed by that handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit agrigold.com. We welcome in with the Austin American statesman and podcaster extraordinaire on Second Thought Podcast. It is Cedric Golden, at Ced Golden on Twitter. Cedric, what is good, man? How are you?
Man, I'm great. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, we're just counting down to football season here. Nothing more, nothing less. How about yourself, man?
Man, we just did a podcast, myself and Kirk Bowles, our 103rd, and you know, the topic was 2 weeks to Big 12 Media Days in Dallas. Man, that is, you know, that smell is in the air. And once that smell gets in there, you can't get rid of it until like January.
No, I know. We're less than a month for Chicago for Big 10 Media Days. I had fun at Big 12 Media Days. Those were a good time, man.
I'm going to tell you, Jerry Jones is hosting this year. He hosted last year at Frisco. It's called the Star, and it's where the Cowboys, this is their newly built headquarters. They moved from Valley Ranch and Irving to the Star in Frisco, which is the largest growing part of Dallas, mm-hmm. north of Dallas. So it's in a football stadium where 8 of the high schools in Frisco play in that stadium, and they convert it to a Big 12 media, free-for-all, basically. It's all under one roof. It's not going ballroom to ballroom. I was a little apprehensive at first when we went last year. Turned out to be great. So it's air conditioned, of course, and it's really nice. So I'm looking forward to going again.
Yeah, that'll be fun, man. And Big 12 is going to be putting some points up again. I want to start with some NBA before we get into some football. And you've done just a tremendous job over the years covering the Spurs. And I want to start with kind of your prognostication on Kawhi, where he could end up, where he may stay. What's the latest in your opinion on Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio?
My biggest question is, Kawhi, won't he just stay in San Antonio? I mean, really? I mean, they just gave you $18 million to play in 9 games. That's $2 million a game. And I wasn't that good at math, but I know that's pretty good. I don't know what that is per hour, but, man, they have any openings. I'd love to go work there. But here's my thing on it. I know the Spurs hate the Lakers. And so the reports are that the Heat's been turned up on Magic Johnson in L.A. to make this thing happen in the next couple of days so that LeBron James, when he makes his decision part 3 or 4, which one, I lose count, that he will decide to play for the Lakers. So My thing is this. I don't think the Spurs are going to trade LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers. Why would they? So he can come into your house three or four times a year and give you the work? Mm. I mean, I would trade him far, far away, like Eastern Conference far away, like Boston Celtics far away, like Philadelphia 76ers far away. Well, that way, if you have to deal with Kawhi, it'll only be in the NBA Finals and a couple of times during the regular season. I think of the two. If I'm R.C. Buford, and I know there's no hope of repairing this fractured relationship with Kawhi, I would trade him to Boston for I would try to get Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward if I could. I mean, if you want to trade a top five player, then send me a couple of all-stars in return, and I might throw in a pick or two. But to trade the best two-way player in the league, not named LeBron James, you're going to have to get some real fat cats to back in return. So I think Boston makes the most sense if I'm the Spurs. I'm sure Kawhi wants to go to the Lakers. He's from L.A. area. So, but I just don't see that happening, Chris. I just don't see them pulling the trigger on that unless it's a real mega deal. And I don't see any pieces in place for the Lakers. I mean, I like Kyle Kuzma, but you really want to trade Kawhi Leonard for Kyle Kuzma? I know I don't.
Can't do it. You can't do it. So is there a possibility they can still be fractured and have a bad relationship, but he's got a year left? I mean, do they just coexist for a year if a deal can't get done?
You know, that could happen, but you know what? Who wins in that deal? Kawhi does, because he gets to walk and go wherever he wants. But then the Spurs don't get anything for a prized talent, a 26-year-old talent. Who's going to command a lot of interest on the open market. So my thing is this. If I've got $500 in my pocket and I can go buy something with it, I'm going to go buy something with it. But if my wallet is empty in a year, do you think I can walk into a store if I'm a lawful, law-abiding citizen and walk out of there with goods? I get nothing with an empty wallet. So if I'm the Spurs, I try to get something while I can, because – from what I'm hearing, the relationship is not good. And Kawhi Leonard did not really want to meet with Greg Popovich last week, but he met with him. And there were reports that he was purposefully avoiding a meeting with Popovich because he just wants to close the chapter on this book and move on to something fresh.
Cedric Golden with us, Austin American Statesman, at Ced Golden on Twitter and on Second Thought Podcast. A few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. LeBron's supposed to make his call on Friday. That's the word. Is it L.A., or do you see him pulling a surprise?
That's a good question. I think it's L.A. I just think that's where his business interests are. He's got two mansions in L.A. Of course, the city itself, coupled with LeBron, is going to lure big-name free agents to that area. If LeBron decides he wants to be a Laker, then Paul George is going to come along with him. Let me ask you this about Paul George. Mm-hmm. You're doing a three-part series on SportsCenter about his journey and his decision that's coming up. Do you do a three-part series on SportsCenter to announce that you're staying in Oklahoma City?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I don't like the say. If I'm Oklahoma City, I'm like, he sure is going a long way to go to let us know he's going to re-up. So I think he's going to L.A. He's an L.A. guy, and I think he's going to L.A., and I think LeBron's going to L.A. They'd rather have Kawhi Leonard, of course. He's better than Paul George.
Yes.
But LeBron and Paul George in L.A. makes the Lakers a contender. But, you know, we still all know, you know, aside from anything, that the race is still going to be for second.
It could be. Quick thought on James Harden's impromptu MVP acceptance speech.
You know, James Harden is James Harden. I like the suit that he had on. That was kind of wild. But the one thing about James Harden is he earned that award. He earned that award, and he showed up in the playoffs. The Rockets were good. The Rockets were one Chris Paul healthy hamstring away from winning an NBA title. And the best player should come from the best team. And no surprise on his speech. Proud. You should be proud to have won that award. I think he went all out for it and actually played a little bit of defense this year. Not a lot, but a little bit, which is an improvement from past seasons.
Let's talk some college football. How did Coach Herman deal with expectations in year one? Because we're talking Coach Frost, and the number is supposed to be 6-6 for Nebraska. There's ways that you can cause an uptick in that, and everyone remembers what Coach Frost did at Central Florida. Him and Herman are very similar because they were the two hottest, brightest offensive dudes that came out, you know, 2 years ago. Herman, in year one, in a place like Austin, how did he juggle that?
I think he knew the expectations were going to be high, and I'm going to tell you, after about five games, I asked him after a game, I go, are you surprised is this tougher than you thought it would be? He goes, absolutely. Hmm. He thought that they would be better. He thought that they would respond better. When Maryland put a 60 spot on them, that was a wake-up call, and he never could have dreamed in his heart of hearts that they were going to be that bad on defense coming out of the chute. So they rebounded nicely. They got into a bowl game, and most important, they won one, which broke a 4 or 5 year streak of no wins in a bowl game. So what that did is that opened them up for, you know, to get better recruits. Texas is on the upswing, spent $1 million on lockers, redid the facility, and 17-year-old kids, they love shiny new things. So they've got a lot of the bling that these kids like. They've won games. They appear to be on the upswing, and I think that this is a year that they take another step forward. Are they going to win the Big 12? I don't think so. Right now, if you ask me, I would say no. But the talent is in place to be good. In the Big 12, Chris, you need a great quarterback, and Texas doesn't have one. I can just rattle off the top of my head: Vince Young, Colt McCoy, Mason Rudolph, Robert Griffin III, guys like that, Zach Robbins. Those are great quarterbacks that came out, Landry Jones, that are in the NFL. So the Big 12 is known for sending quarterbacks to the NFL. I don't think there's an NFL quarterback on this roster. And until he solves that puzzle, I think that they're going to always be like a maybe and not a definite.
Kind of that 8-4, 9-3 number versus what could be.
Absolutely. And the difference makers in college basketball are usually the point guard. Mm-hmm. In college football, it used to be the running backs. It used to be Adrian Peterson. It used to be guys like that, Billy Sims, Earl Campbell. It's quarterbacks now. Those are the guys that can make or break you now. Alabama had a backup quarterback come in and win them a national championship. I mean, those kind of things happen. So, to me, I just think that they're going to have to solve the puzzle. I like Shane Buechel. I like Sam Ellinger. I think they're good quarterbacks, but I just don't think that they're elite. And that comes from someone who covered Vince Young and Colt McCoy. So I know what an elite quarterback is. And if I know what one is, I think I also know what one is not. So, and I don't think those guys are elite. I think that they can lead you to 7 or 8 wins, 11 or 12 wins. I don't think so.
So I got 30 seconds, man. Randy Gregory, what's next for him?
Man, it's sad, isn't it? It's really sad.
At least on Twitter, though, it looks like things are okay. I mean, Twitter's Twitter, but, I mean, he's at least in public now, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's in public. He's supposed to meet with NFL officials. Maybe he already met with them. Mm-hmm. And I know the commissioner likes to sit down with these guys and ask them, are you clean? I mean, is this gonna happen for you? You know, so... I do know this. His attorney is a guy named Daniel Moskowitz. Mm-hmm. And Moskowitz represented the Arizona Cardinals linebacker, Darrell Washington, who had some similar issues. And he was actually reinstated last year. So he's got the right guy on the case. But, you know, when you've missed 30 of the last 32 regular season games because of your own behavior, teams aren't going to reach out to you. You're not going to be a valued commodity. He's got a lot of work to do to clean up his image. And the best thing that can happen for him is if he can just sign with someone for the minimum and maybe just maybe play a full season, keep his nose clean and then show people that, yeah, I can still play this game. Those past misdeeds are behind me. If he can do that, he could have a successful NFL career. But you know what, Chris? I just think that I don't have a lot of faith in him. Everyone gave him a chance, and he's basically taken a dump on a lot of people who put trust in him, and that's sad.
Cedric, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much for the time today, bud.
Always my pleasure. Take care, brother.
See you, bud.
Now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Right a little over there with Cedric Golden, but it is so worth it. Cedric Golden is phenomenal. Thanks to him. Affiliates down the line, apologies about that. No apology needed for Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey, what's up, man? How are you? You're dry today.
Yeah, dry today. A little sweaty, man. It's hot out there.
Yeah, it's bacon.
So Danny went out and played some golf, huh?
Danny played some golf.
That's right. First time out this year.
So I just want to know the over and under on how many houses, trees, or water hazards you hit.
Okay, water hazard was one.
You did get one? You got wet once?
Yeah. House?
How'd we handle that?
I didn't hear a noise, so it might have went in their backyard, but no loud bang from the roof or anything.
Not bad. One water,
I
one
just,
house.
I also might not have found it, so it maybe went in their yard. I don't know.
Did you pull an OJ and use a foot wedge multiple times?
No, not quite.
You don't have to go on Casino Danny patrol like the folks did with OJ when he golfed. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, wildernessridgegolf.com. Log on. Get a tee time set. Early in the morning works. A little cooler then. Membership benefits, membership pricing, 402-434-5106. Folks can come see you for a lesson, can't they? They can get fixed.
You bet.
Yeah, get fixed.
Come out and get fixed.
Danny, hopefully are you not listening?
Oh, yeah. I need to get myself a lesson.
Yeah,
now I'm itching to play even more.
I like it.
He keeps asking me, like, hey, Schmidt, when are you going to play? I want to play with you, man. It'll be fun to play golf with you, Danny. But, his nickname's Casino Danny.
I know.
We're going to be throwing down on every hole. I don't know. You could be hustling me, though. You say you're not that good, but you go out a decent amount. So you could just be
baiting you.
I'm pulling the Johnny Carson executive order of taking a Friday off once in a while.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson adventure. Fridays, it's been for baseball. I haven't all been golfing. Shoey, it's been a great week for Nebraska golf, man. You had Brady Schnell, web.com, John Peterson, U.S. Senior Open qualified for that. You've got the Pinnacle Bank Championship coming up in Omaha. That'll be incredible.
Yeah.
Let me give you some thoughts here on all the digesting that's been going on here in the great state of Nebraska with golf.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to see. Ryan Vermeer, who he's the teaching professional up at Happy Hollow. He just took that job. He won our national championship, so the National Club Pro Championship, about 10 days ago. So he ended up winning that, which is it's pretty amazing. No one from Nebraska has ever won it.
That's awesome.
So he's the first one from Nebraska to win the event, and it's been around for a long time. So pretty impressive. Brady Schnell, an Omaha kid, mm-hmm. played at Nebraska. He won the web.com event down in Wichita. And then John Peterson, who's a teaching professional up in Omaha at Tiburon,
mm-hmm.
He just qualified for the senior open out at the Broadmoor out in Colorado.
Okay.
So it's been a pretty good week for Nebraska golf.
That's outstanding. And touch on the U.S. Senior Open a minute with John and where he's headed. And what goes into to that next step, going from regular PGA to senior?
Man, not much, because you look at a lot of those senior players out there. They're still
in good shape and they're ready to go.
They are, and they're still competing on the regular tour.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are still kind of bouncing back and forth between the regular tour and now the senior tour.
What's the age for that?
50.
50.
50. 50. So once you hit 50, you can go out there and try to play. So. Yeah, I mean, these guys can still golf their ball like crazy. Just because they're seniors doesn't mean that they're not competitive. A lot of those guys, like I said, they bounce back and forth, and they'll get into a regular tour event, and they'll be super competitive. You got a lot of Fred Couples,
mm-hmm.
Steve Stricker, Bernhard Langer. You'll see their name pop up on a regular tour event. So those guys can still golf their ball. So he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, well, that'll be good, though.
It'll be fun. His first event, so... of any of that kind. So he's been trying for a long time to get out there, and I'm really happy for him to see that he finally got out there, because it'll be a great experience. It'll be tough. It's not like playing a pro-am.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment here with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Shuey, what's been going on with you from a lesson standpoint, from a junior golf standpoint? I know that there's been clinics that have been going on. The Divot Dogs are alive and well, and they're rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
And you're just continuing to teach here. So lay it out there. Are there still opportunities this part of summertime to get out and see you or send the little one out there to get going?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're right in the middle of actually two junior camps going on right now. So we have our regular junior camp, which are like ages 7 to 13.
Okay.
So we're doing that this week. And then right after we finish that, we had a peewee camp.
All right.
Oh, peewee camp. So 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds.
How is that coaching and teaching a 3-year-old?
That will very much test your patience. It's actually like herding cats, actually.
Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Quit it. No, don't do that. No.
So it's a lot of fun.
Whose temperament's better, the teenager or the 3-year-old? It's a fair question.
Probably the teenager, actually.
Okay.
You know, the three-year-old.
Depends on the teenager.
Yeah, the 3-year-old, just he's going 100 miles an hour going all over the place. So it's like, come back
how
here, come back here.
How many 3-year-olds you see?
We had 30 kids.
So 30, okay.
In that,
3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture this. I took Junior out when he was 4 or 5 because he was jacked about doing the old golf cart on the Talon course. He didn't get to drive,
that's
folks.
What most of them
but he likes to ride.
Oh yeah.
But he had a set of plastic cubs when he was little. Uh-huh. And he used to try and
the key is you gotta keep him doing
smack
something.
Me.
So we played a little game today.
What was the game?
We had a little relay golf. So he broke up into teams and we have these targets that we hit at. So part of the team was at one end and the other part started at the other end and they had to hit it down to the target. And once they got it in the target, then the other player could come back and go back.
All right.
To the target. So you got a little race going on. So you put a little golf, a little activity, you keep them moving so they don't get bored, which doesn't take very long, but they got about a 5-second attention span.
Gary the Hippo in form?
Oh, yeah. Gary the Hippo was always the most popular. They'd rather go beat him up than actually
well,
hit
I say,
him.
No one pops Gary, I hope.
Oh, yeah. They were popping him pretty good today.
Oh, no.
So it's fun. We have a lot of fun with them. They're a riot.
That's good, man. That's good. We'll get into some PGA stuff. Mike Shewhart's with us as it's the Hail on Hail Varsity Radio Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Get a tee time locked in this weekend, maybe a morning, 18 with you and your friends. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. That's also the number you can dial to get some lessons scheduled.
Yeah.
Get some lessons scheduled, work on that short game, the approach shot. I have a fear that Danny does a reenactment of scenes from Caddyshack, but not the Danny in Caddyshack, but Al from Caddyshack. When it comes to Slice, Shuey, you can be Dr. Slice, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, I had a guy call in.
Yeah?
He's been listening to the show.
Wonderful.
So
he's the one.
I heard you can fix me, so he's coming in a couple days, so... We'll see if we get a little testimony out of him.
All right.
Get him to call back in and go,
people
yeah.
call me and ask that. I just hand him some Grey Goose.
There you go.
That's how I do
it.
I
do that too.
nerves, yeah. Nerves. Calm hands. We'll continue on. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Quick hour. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Mike Shewhart is in. Brandon Vogel 10 minutes away. And then native Lincolnite. And he is with The Athletic. He is also a New York Times bestseller. And he's probably golfing with Saban right now. Lars Anderson going to be with us at 5:25. Shuey, we were talking during the break, man. There's nothing cooler other than an option play, but the old tight end over the middle off play action. You're pretty fired up here about quarterback play in Nebraska. Danny and I were talking, if you're going to make an impressive jump, need really good defense and takeaways, or you need elite quarterback play, you're pretty fired up about what can happen at quarterback, aren't you, before we get into golf here?
No question.
You've gone to Husker games for a long time, man.
I just remember where it's like you could always count on the tight end over the middle wide open.
Oh, I love
touchdown.
It. Right.
Every time. And you just didn't know when it was coming, but you knew it was coming somewhere along the game. And there he is running over
Keith
the middle.
Jackson. Oh, yeah. The other end of it.
And it's like, wow, I missed those days. I haven't seen one of those in a long time. So I see quarterback play being a very huge component, you know, and just managing your ability to keep moving the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to eliminate turnovers, just kill, because
oh,
they
yeah.
kill drives, they kill momentum. So it's like if you can keep the ball moving
kill
down
your
the
defense.
Field, exactly, you know, and it's like you score more points than the other team, you're always going to win. And mm-hmm. if you can keep the other team's defense off of the field, then, you know, that makes your defense better as well.
Sure. So. Well, defense job to go get the ball for the offense. That's kind of the mantra. Let's talk Tiger Woods here for a second. And he's working with a new putter. Might
yeah.
use it this week. What goes into doing that putter? And you designed and created your own putter, uh-huh. correct?
I have.
Yeah.
Putted with about 100 million putters over my career.
Well, no, but you know what? You've done equipment, so you know.
What's really interesting is Tiger's putted with basically the same putter, or at least type of putter, mm-hmm. all of his career for the
so
most
part.
So
why is he switching now? Obviously, he's not putted well, but he's at that point where he's like, hell, let's try something new.
Yeah. And you got technology out there, too. Technology is such that if you...
You'll find the one putter that gets it in the hole.
Yeah. I mean, this technology helps you do this, you know. So it's like, and I need some help right now because I'm not getting it in the hole very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just try to do, you need to do things to help that part of it, you know. A lot of it's just confidence. He'll end up going back to his old putter. They always do. It's like that nice, comfortable pair of shoes that you never get rid of because you like to put them on, you know. But sometimes you need to switch it up. Sometimes you need a different look, different feel or something just to change the mojo of what's going on.
Brings you back.
You know, you get a feel for what you're doing. And it might be the one that sticks, but most of the time it's just something to switch things up to get to start seeing the ball go in the hole again, you know, to build your confidence back up. Because he's putted not very good for a couple months now, mm-hmm. actually. You know, he started out the season putting pretty good, and then now all of a sudden he's hitting it pretty well, and he can't make a thing. So it's like, what do I do? Do I just stick it with it, or do I try to make a change to see if it makes a change?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty common.
Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Shuey, hang out if you want. Vogues is coming up. Lars Anderson on the way. Go see Mike Shewhart. He can fix you, babe.
Yeah.
Tee box to short grass to approach shot to the beach. Stay out of the beach. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Log on. Give Shuey a ring. 402-434-5106. Hour 2 of Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Into Hour 2, great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Lars Anderson coming up. We welcome in. He's a Cubs fan. He is phenomenal at writing. Hail Varsity yearbook is in your mailbox shortly. And Brandon Vogel with us. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, are you still out on your deck enjoying the loveliness?
No, I'm inside now. You can add Sad Germany fan today to my list of accomplishments. So I'm just sitting here in the dark, sad.
The Germans. Before the end of the interview, I will get your explanation on their performance. Now, there's a part of Steve Schmidt, Marcus Schmidt, that are probably sad too about the Germans losing. But I haven't gotten there yet. Maybe I will. I don't know. Yeah. So let's talk football. Let's talk the other football. Let's talk the sequel that you put out on HailVarsity.com, Hot Reads. We had a great chat to start the show about you know, exceeding that 6-6 number, and you are incredible at what you do, and you point out two ways that if it gets done, how it gets done, and that's through quarterback play or defense. And let's focus on quarterback play for a second here, Vogues. And what do you think, without naming a starter, but just based on who the quarterback coach is and the head coach is for Nebraska, what do you think you get out of quarterback play? Is it better than a year one of Milton?
I think it has the potential to be that, which can feel a bit strange or maybe even bold with, you know, how good he became last year and what everyone saw. But that jump really did help or did happen last year, you know, between year one and year two. With this group, with everyone being there right from basically January on, I think you have a chance to be a little bit better than that. Now you're not gonna approach his year two numbers either. But
why not?
With the way, well, maybe you can. And if you do, you're certainly gonna be better than 6-6. I think. But just the amount of time that these guys have had, I think there was such uncertainty, and there's still some uncertainty around Nebraska's quarterback room, but I suspect that'll be kind of alleviated in year one. You know, Milton was basically a week three or week four insertion. They kind of turned it over to him at that point and said, hey, you know, it was early in that first year, but it was we're building for the future. I think Nebraska starts out at a little bit higher level, so I don't know if you get there quite that quickly for the Huskers this year. So I do think that leads itself to, whoever that guy is, probably has a little bit better numbers than maybe Milton did in his first year.
Brandon, going off of that 6-6 sequel article, you were focusing on the quarterbacks, and you talked a lot about the QBR since 2004 where they started ranking them. And you mentioned that the top 20 QBR season since 2004 came from freshman or first-year starters. So Schmitty and I got into it in the first segment. Who do you think is going to have that bigger impact to put Nebraska kind of over that hump of 6-6, whether it's the defense and the quarterbacks? And we both kind of agree that it would be the quarterbacks. And I know you didn't really give an official answer, but with that being said, Don't you say, just based off of that data, that the quarterbacks have a more likely of a chance to have a bigger impact than the first-year defense?
I think the quarterbacks, so let's say the quarterbacks are as good as you can possibly imagine. That's what ends up happening. And the defenses as well. I think quarterback ends up having a bigger impact on your wins and losses. Now, which of those is more likely in year one? For that, I would say the defense. Like, I think the threshold is still a high one to hit for, you know, an improvement of ranking in the 100s in whatever category you want to think about to top 30 or 40. But that one seems more likely for a few reasons. You know, I think this style of play where it's kind of turned them loose compared to what they had last year is easy to get behind, easy to understand, and a little bit more fun for a group of young guys. So that plays into it. And also just, you know, you're talking about team defense versus really the progression of one guy. So you've got a lot of different options to try defensively. So I agree with you guys. Quarterback would have the bigger impact. I think defense is a little more likely.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Be sure to read his 6-6, the sequel, on HailVarsity.com. Really good story on better than 6-6. How does it get there? I didn't get an answer on this from Blair Kirchhoff, but he talked about Coach Frost and miraculous. What happened a year ago? Do you have, and I said 10. If they get, again, I'm not trying to like incinerate this fan base with false hope with what a first year is and can be. We know how they've looked, okay? But the guy's also really, really good now as your head coach. What number equals miraculous to you with the win total?
Let's see. So I think 8 would be enough to kind of, you know, Katie bar the door enthusiasm for the season ahead. So 2019,
we're talking statue.
Is going to be off the charts. No, we're not talking statue at that point. So really anything over 9, I guess, you're getting to the point where like, wow, who could have ever predicted that? You know, sort of the things I was talking about in those those two articles, the things that can and do happen on occasion, but you never see them coming because it wouldn't make sense to predict such an outlier. If they get to 10, yeah. And I think maybe even 9 might get you there. So if 6-6 is a realistic baseline, you know, you get a little fortunate, you get a little unlucky, that becomes 4 wins or 8 wins. You hit that 9 mark and you've really kind of proven a little bit more, even beyond what Frost and the staff have already proved over 2 years at UCF.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, let's go back to defense. Where do they make strides? What are you confident in with this defensive side of the ball, them being better at?
Well, this kind of goes against my nature to predict improvement in takeaways, but I think that'll happen. So takeaways always come down a little bit to luck, but the part that isn't is how many, you know, wrote about this a couple months ago, the takeaway opportunities. How often are you putting yourself in position to get interceptions, to, you know, force fumbles, so you even have a chance to get those. Nebraska was way low in those, and their ultimate takeaway numbers were way low again. UCF had, you know, one of the 2 or 3 highest in the country over that 16-17 span. So I think you'll see that. That comes down to coaching and aggressiveness and how they want to do things. And I think ultimately it probably will result in some more takeaways right away. And we've seen, you know, that's one thing that can really have an impact on a team. It's one of those kind of outlier things that it's hard to predict it with any certainty. But when you go back and reverse engineer things and say, hey, how did Team X come out of nowhere and win 9-10 games? There's usually a huge jump up in their turnover margin for the positive. So that's probably the biggest one. You know, sacks, tackles for loss. Those things I still have a few questions about, just personnel-wise, like who's going to get those, who's going to be the go-to guy for those. So I think takeaways are a little more likely.
Brandon, on Monday, we got into the topic of Athlon's ranking of all college football's coaches, and Frost came in at number 23. I want to get your take. What was your reaction when you saw that, and what do you think his number will be after this season?
My reaction was, I kind of gave a mental pat on the back to Athlon because that's kind of a bold ranking. Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take anything to put him at like 40th and say everything's great, but it's just been 2 years. I mean, which is true. Like, that's a very safe play. So to put him in the top 25 is saying like, hey, we are waiting those 2 years pretty heavily, and we think more are on the way. So kudos to them for that. In terms of where he'll be after that, then you start getting to the what's the miraculous number again. I don't think Nebraska probably gets to that 9-10 win range, at least not yet. So a climb up from 23, since he's already a little higher than most spots, probably isn't likely. He could climb into the top 20, but probably the high teens, I guess.
Brandon Vogel's spending a few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach DiNardo was on with us last week. We've talked just a ton of things about Nebraska with him. He had a chance to chat with Sammy McEwen. And, the reestablishing the niche in recruiting, what do you believe that is for Nebraska?
Well, I think it has the potential to be, you know, different under this staff. When you look at skill positions, there obviously an emphasis on speed that came from Oregon and went to UCF and has come from UCF now to Nebraska. I don't see that going any differently just because they're in Lincoln now. This is an offense that prizes speed to a great degree. And you know, with offensive line, I think the standard niche for Nebraska was, well, you'll get the strong farm boys and put them in weight program, and you just kind of turn over great offensive line year after year after year. That would still be great if that model can work at Nebraska, and I think it can. But with some of their offensive line offers that have gone out, I think you see guys who have the frame that they like. And it doesn't so much matter how brawny and farm strong they are right now, because they know the strength staff can get them there. So Zach Duvall comes up consistently in every recruit interview you read, which is just really interesting to me. So in some ways, I think he might kind of eliminate the kind of niche in terms of Nebraska recruiting to maybe some of the stereotypes that existed previously.
Just because he can create what needs to be?
Yeah, and I think they have a really good idea of, okay, this is sort of the frame. We know we can work with that. So it's the combination of those two things. That's knowing what you can do and then also knowing sort of the raw materials that you need to have the most success there. And so far, it looks like they have a really good idea on both fronts.
You know, Coach DeNardis talked to us about how you had the double whammy with Nebraska where they got really great players, but they also made really great players, and then you combined it, and there you have it. And that's something that I think Nebraska can do again moving forward in the Big Ten. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Speed is good when you come to the niche that will be Nebraska, can define Nebraska. I think the other thing that is going to be emphasized, but they'll make guys tough. They'll make dudes tougher, and it'll be like kind of Wisconsin-esque or Iowa-esque with just not just the lines of scrimmage, but the attitude. I mean, they're going to be physical, and I think that excites a lot of Nebraska fans. You still got to see it, but man, Vogues, just comment a bit on just that idea to be the tougher football player.
Well, I think it's key when you really boil down like what is sort of vintage Nebraska, what is the Nebraska way. That toughness part of it is something that comes up frequently. You know, you hear guys from the 90s talk, and they often bring up, you know, Saturdays were the easy part. Like, we felt like we'd, you know, against a lot of Big Eight teams, not talking about non-conference when you brought in Louisiana Tech or whoever, but Big Eight teams, you just felt like, well, this is easier than practice was. So you think about not just how you structure practice and make that way, but how does that feel then to go out on that field on Saturday mornings and know that that's the case? Be like, well, we've done all the hard work. Here we go. We're the baddest dudes out here, and we know it. I think, you know, through their work in the weight room and through the efforts to really instill that sort of mindset through tough workouts, et cetera, it's going to have a noticeable impact. It's going to be hard to say, oh, there it is. Everybody might see it a little bit differently at different times in the season ahead, but I am pretty certain that at some point, a lot of Nebraska fans are going to see it, recognize it, and be pretty happy to see it again.
60 seconds. What happened to your German national team?
I'm not quite sure. So 538 has a good story up now about just how unlikely this loss was. You know, they're facing South Korea, which is the worst group and the worst team in the group. All they had to do was win 1-0 and couldn't get a goal against them, and eventually had to really press, and it resulted into late South Korea goals. And here we are, the defending champions are out of the World Cup. So kind of crazy. If you played that game 100 times, it probably never goes that way again, but it did this time.
How is Frankfurt reacting?
I don't know. It may decrease my World Cup viewing a little bit, which is good because I'm tired of hearing that Frankfurter commercial from Volkswagen. So I guess count your blessings.
Vogues, you're awesome, man. Excited for the yearbook. It'll be in mailboxes today, tomorrow, on newsstands today, tomorrow. Can subscribe. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. 855-3-HUSKER. Ways to do it. Bundle it. Get the premium content as well online with your yearbook subscription. 10 issues. You'll love it. Vogues, take care. We'll get caught up on Saturday, brother.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. There he is, Brandon Vogel. HailVarsity.com and magazine. Good to get caught up with him. Talk some Nebraska. Read his thoughts on how you make that jump beyond 6-6. A sequel to it, and the sequel tremendous, just like the original. A lot of times you talk original and sequel, you're disappointed with movies. Well, this is a read you need to check out. Timeout on deck here, and then we will talk with Lars Anderson, contributor to The Athletic, New York Times bestselling author. We'll get all crazy college football style with Lars Anderson next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny, the pride of Chicago, Burke. Danny Cassino, his nickname. We welcome in New York Times bestselling author and with The Athletic. And he's busy, man. Busy being a dad, busy getting ready for college football again. Lars Anderson with us at Lars Anderson 71. Mr. Lars, did you survive the rainstorm, brother?
Yeah, thank you for accommodating me. It was biblical type of rain going on, and there is a tree down in the middle of I-65, which is a north-south interstate, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody met their maker just right behind me. But yeah, thanks again. It's all good.
No, it's all good for you, man. Let's talk college football here. Media days around the corner for the SEC and Big Ten and Big 12. How many college football playoff contenders, as we talk in June, nearly July, do you see from the SEC? Give me a number.
Whew, that's a good one. I mean, you start with Alabama. I think Georgia is going to be strong again and just getting stronger. LSU has all the talent in the world, and if they can get their quarterback situation figured out, a familiar theme with them, they could be formidable. I think Auburn is sort of an unknown because they lost a lot on both sides of their offensive line and defensive line, but they return arguably the best sort of pure passing quarterback in the country in Jarrett Stidham, former Baylor quarterback who transferred. So I think kind of those are the main contenders, you know, as we sit here, you know, 67 days away or whatever it is from the kickoff of college football.
Oh, we're counting. It's all right. Lars Anderson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Lars from the Big Ten. How many do you see, at least four or more from the Big Ten?
Ooh, that's another great question. You know, I think you start with Ohio State, and you wonder about their quarterback play. It's going to be a different type of offense, I think, that Urban Meyer is going to be operating. Wisconsin, right there. I don't know. I mean, again, this is your part of the country. Who do you like out of the Big Ten?
You hit the two. I mean, you look at Ohio State, you look at Wisconsin. I need to know about Michigan. You know Shea Patterson. What does he do for Mr. Khakis?
I think to expect Shea Patterson to come in there and have full command of that offense in a really short amount of time is asking a lot. I think there's going to be a huge transition, and I frankly don't think he's going to have the impact that a lot of people do. It's a completely different offense, different terminology. It's just so hard to come in and be the guy, you know. As Nebraska fans found out last year with Nebraska's quarterback as a transfer. So, I don't think Michigan's going to be as strong as some people might speculate.
Let's talk Adrian Martinez, and you saw him in the spring game, and folks are excited to see what he can do. There's been no starter named, but just from a quarterback play, the way to elevate that, as a college football, you know, writer and analyst, you know, tell me about Nebraska, kind of your expectations with quarterback play from Frost and Coach Verduzco.
I do think that they are going to go with Martinez with the idea of getting him experience and sort of using this as a learning year for the entire program, and then really to make their big splash in year two. Mm-hmm. I think Martinez has all the tools that Scott is looking for in a quarterback, beginning with he's a smart kid, great head on his shoulders, going to make good decisions, going to take care of the football, and then has the dual threat ability. I think there's a lot to be excited about him. I'll say this too, Chris. When I was stuck in the rainstorm this afternoon, these hosts of a Birmingham-based radio show were talking about the toughest coaches in the country. If you put them in the UFC ring, who would be the most feared? And they all three agreed that the number one guy on the list is Scott Frost.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, dude did the Grand Canyon with Marty, and Frost.
Yeah.
Frost can go rock 225, 250. I mean, easy still, allegedly.
I'm sure you've heard stories just about him mixing it up with the players at down in Florida. You know,
yeah, I mean, he took snaps. And, yeah.
So, you know, there's just a lot of excitement around Nebraska. And you know, just listening to Paul Feinbaum talk about Frost and just how desperately Florida wanted him. I mean, he absolutely was their number one guy. And for Nebraska to get the most coveted coaching prospect in the country just because he happened to grow up down the road from Nebraska and played at Nebraska and won a championship at Nebraska, boy, the stars just all aligned for Nebraska because really, as we all know, Scott could have gone anywhere he wanted.
Lars Anderson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Lars Anderson 71, contributor to The Athletic, New York Times bestselling author. And Coach DeWitt, was it DeWitt or I think it was DeWitt, one of the coaches in the Husker Nation tour, answered the question about Florida. This is 2-3 weeks ago. And Frost was adamant about his whole staff. He wants everybody on the same page, and I don't want to have to coach coaches, right, when I'm making the transition. Continuity. Coach Osborne, right? And Florida wouldn't let him bring his entire staff. What's your reaction to that?
That's surprising. It's the first I heard of that. It's a very unique situation in that Scott did bring his entire staff, and you know, he's got a formula, and he's got the guys that he knows he can rely on, and it is very unique. And that surprises me that Florida wouldn't allow Scott to do that. I don't know if that ended up being a deal breaker or not.
Yes.
if in fact it was, then you know, I would say the Florida athletic director made a mistake. But also, I think Dan Mullen is going to do a terrific job there, and going to turn things around pretty quickly at Florida. But it'll always be a sort of like what could have been scenario. And so I think Nebraska fans will be watching, and as we all should, to see how all that shakes out between sort of who got the best of these two hires moving forward in 3, 4, 5 years.
Lars, a couple more minutes and we'll get you out. I wanted to kind of get your take on, there's a good story out about the NFL and dealing with, connecting with, working with millennials. How has Saban been able to connect? How's he been able to deal with the generation gap?
Winning.
Well, right.
I mean, that's it. The kids want to play for Nick Saban. And, you know, a couple years ago, 2 years ago, I was out in Newport Beach, California, doing a story. And happened to be at a restaurant and overheard these three high school girls talking about how they're going to Alabama for college. And I went and I asked them, like, you're in Newport Beach. This is the epicenter of cool. This is, you got the Pacific Ocean, you know, great weather. Why do you want to go to Alabama? And they said, we want to be associated with the winner. You know, and so I think you can overthink things. And also, you know, I've told this story before, like every time Nick walks into the room of a potential recruit, Alabama's done a 7-deep dive where they have talked to sort of the 7 most important people in that recruit's life. And if the mom is an interior designer, Nick will like brush up on his interior design, and he will comment on the curtains in the house and be able to sort of talk at a relatively high level about interior design because he's a really, really smart guy. And so, you know, there's no stone left unturned when it comes to recruiting, and recruiting is something they do every single day. You know, Nick is not going to be, he's not on social media. He's not going to be, tweeting about different recruits. He will text, I believe. although I still don't think he has a computer in his office, believe it or not. I mean, he's so, like, archaic in so many ways and antiquated, but bottom line is he wins, and he has you know, the biggest support staff in the country that just helps him make that connection. And, look, I'm a professor at Alabama, and I'm around millennials a lot, and I still don't understand really what makes them tick. It can be incredibly frustrating sometimes to be around millennials, but I also think they do get sort of a bad rap, because I've also been around a lot of young, special people who are ambitious, who try hard, and who aren't scared of debt, and are willing to try new things and put themselves out of their own comfort zone. And so it's easy to sort of broad brush millennials as a group, I think when it comes to Alabama and Nick connecting with millennials, it's just simply winning.
Lars, when's the next time you're golfing with Saban, and do you let him win?
I've only golfed with him a few times.
Me too. Yeah, I've only golfed. Come on, man.
he's got a pretty good stroke, and he's not afraid to talk a little smack here and there. I will say, too, one other thing, that I think Jalen Hurts is actually going to be the starting quarterback
really?
At the beginning of the season. And I know that's against conventional wisdom, but I go back to the interception that Tua threw in the national championship game, and it was because he didn't know the play. It was a running play. I don't know if you remember the play, but it was sort of a quarterback sweep left. All the receivers are blocking, and he throws the ball because he thought it was a pass. And I still think that Nick, the number one thing with him is do your job, know what to do, take care of the ball. And I think Tua can be a little careless with the ball, but I don't know that he has the grasp of the playbook to the comfort level that Nick likes. So I fully anticipate that Jalen Hurts is going to be day one starter, and I think there's going to be a sort of platoon at quarterback.
Okay. Lars Anderson, formerly the Bleacher Report, The Athletic is where you can read Lars. And Lars, 20 seconds, a new book coming out. When's that announcement?
The book is going to be out in October. Still can't announce it yet for a variety of reasons. It's a highly sensitive topic, but really proud of it. And I think it's going to touch a lot of people, going to shatter a lot of perceptions. And we can hopefully the next time we talk, Chris, we can kind of get into it.
That'd be awesome. You're awesome, man. Lars Anderson at LarsAnderson71. Follow him, read him, and do so. Lars, be good, my man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
Take care. Lars Anderson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff. A Jock Doc on the way. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Doug Tavis with us on Hail Varsity Radio, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Doing good, Chris. Got the All-Star games coming up. I love the home run derby stuff. That's pretty cool.
Toronto, intriguing ball club, and they've got a guy that's in his early 30s and Josh Donaldson that teams would want, except got that recurring calf issue. Let's spend a little bit of time on Josh Donaldson and what he's dealing with, specifically what's ailing him, his possibility to be shipped out of Toronto.
He keeps getting brought up as a trade possibility. You know, he's got a good bat, certainly has functioned, you know, pretty well as a designated hitter here over the course of the year, but he started having this calf issue during spring training, and it's just been kind of up and down ever since then. And I think it's going to weigh pretty heavily on whether or not anybody makes a move on him.
Well, when you talk about his injury, kind of go through the effect, not only short-term but long-term with him, how it's happened, how it can happen, and how common it is.
Sure, yeah. I mean, this is one of those things that I affectionately call an old guy injury. It's not really an old guy injury, but it's a lot of guys that are in their 30s and 40s that are playing ball still. What happens is you take a step in a reactive way in an athletic competition, and you stretch that calf muscle while you're still trying to kind of push off. We've talked about those things we call eccentric loads to muscles. as being the way that those injuries occur. And so basically the muscle is trying to contract while another force is trying to lengthen it out. So this is what happened, you know, during he was taking some just some batting or some ground balls, and ended up straining that calf. So we see it a ton in weekend warrior type athletes. There's probably people out there listening that are going, "Oh yeah, I remember that one." And like hamstring tears, these can be a recurrent problem. And so for a guy who's needing to have a real stable couple of legs under him to, you know, hit the ball well or be able to move quickly defensively, it's a real problem.
When it comes to the rehab side of it, take me through that process of trying to get him back that where he had his setback.
Yeah, initially it's just trying to get back to a point where the muscle functions. So, you know, you see a guy who's limping terribly badly because it hurts enough. You know, that muscle isn't functioning well. And so it's immobilization a lot of times in one of those Velcro boots that you see people wear a lot. That's a pretty typical way to go. Might, you know, be a one crutch or two crutch kind of a deal depending on the severity of the pain. Once you kind of get the acute pain under control, which may not take all that long, I mean, it may be just a couple of days, then you're in a situation where you start with the stretching activities, and then as the stretching activities continue to improve the discomfort, then you got to add the strengthening. A lot like the hamstring injuries, you know, we used to be talking about stretch all the time, and we never really addressed the strengthening side of it, and that's really the piece that needs to occur in order to really get him over this thing faster. So it's all non-operative treatment. There may be a place for platelet-rich plasma injections in an injury like this, but it's not a scenario where everybody that, you know, that has an injury like this needs to have an injection like that.
When you look at the injury and you look at Donaldson, he's a corner infielder. You want power from your corners. And if you want to survive in the AL East this year, you need power. What's this going to do to his power numbers? And I know he's been dealing with this, so his home run numbers are only at 5, and his average is not what it needs to be or should be. But moving forward, is there a chance of re-injury with him trying to hit for power? How does this affect his approach at the dish?
Yeah, I think that's the real crux of the matter for the trade issue for him, because it certainly can be a re-injury scenario. And, you know, whenever you're dealing with these soft tissue problems, it's not the end of the season, but it's the end of 2 or 3 week block, you know. And for a team that's making a run at the playoffs, you know, they're going to have a hard time wanting to rely on this kind of a situation. You know, when you're batting and you're batting for power, that kind of stable base that you need to have. You know, we always see the, you know, the, on the TV, the guys stop the picture and show the triangular base, you know, that a guy has when he makes that home run swing. That depends a lot on the pull of the muscle in the calf, because while the ankle may not be necessarily moving right at that point, that muscle has to be contracting very, very tightly in order to keep that base stable so that he can make that good solid turn with his core.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. And Josh Donaldson, third baseman for Toronto, our topic is calf injury recurring and limiting what Toronto can get for him from a trade standpoint, also limiting what Donaldson can do to help out with some power numbers for Toronto. Now, Dr. Doug, what are some things that the everyday athlete or the would-be third baseman for Toronto can do every day to strengthen that calf, either exercises or weights, or what type of suggestions do you have so it's not as easy to tweak?
Well, I think this is one of those times where you think through, okay, as your body is getting older, No question, you do need to allow a little more time from a warm-up perspective. You know, so you know, the guys who used to play basketball with up at church at 5:30 in the morning, you know, we just walk right out on the court and, you know, and think we're going to go ahead and
launch
play very well, and here we go, you know. That's probably not the right way to do it, you know. So, you know, a good warm-up, getting those muscles flexible, just, you know, with stretching and some light jogging and maybe doing some sprint work after that, those would all be very appropriate things. But for a guy who's in a situation like he is, obviously it takes a lot more than, you know, just warming up. You got to keep the muscles exquisitely strong and reactive. You know, we hear about the work ethic of some of these baseball players being in there for hours and hours before baseball games, getting their bodies ready to go. And, you know, that's ultimately what would go on with someone like this. I think that as our bodies do age, we do have to think a little bit more about some of the moves that we make, because the same motion, you know, if you're out playing weekend softball game and the same kind of thing you've done 1,000 times, you know, you can make a hard, quick move towards the ball, and that might be enough to injure a calf muscle like this. So you do have to have a little bit of recognition that the body physiologically does change, and it doesn't accommodate to the same degree of stresses, you know, when we're 45 years old as it does when we're 20.
Dr. Dunk, thanks for the update today. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Okay, your chance at Salt Dog tickets coming up shortly. Jimmy Buffett night. We're talking row 10 and 8 seats for you. Hang on a quick second before we give those away. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Speaking of diamonds, go check out pure-grown diamonds with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around Weston, Grand Island. Earthmine diamonds are what you usually get and can spend money on. Pure-grown diamonds are grown in a lab, and all the characteristics of Earthmine diamonds, they're eco-friendly, and they're 10 to 40% less than those earth mine diamonds. Go see why they're so beautiful, and go see why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. It's a long history. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around Weston, Grand Island, your exclusive dealer in Nebraska for pure grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com. Danny, what collar do you want him to be?
What color?
What collar?
Oh, what collar?
I'm not buying you a diamond.
I was going to say that's very generous.
You're not one of those guys that pierced his ear and then let it like close up, but it never really closed up. So if you look real close, Dan had 7 earrings in his left ear at one point.
All right. No, so it was maybe 6th or 7th grade. Everyone was kind of doing it, and it wasn't like, hey, we're going to Claire's
too, or
and
what?
Doing it. Like, it was one of my buddies like did it himself
through
my ear. Got home, parents pissed. Took it out right away, closed up. That was the end of that. So, yeah. Parents are like, you're not wearing that.
Did you have a dangly one, or did you have like some fake diamond looking
thing?
It was
like the fake diamond one. And yeah, it was less than.
Did you have both ears?
Hours. No, just one.
I could see you as being a dude with both earrings.
That's what a lot of people did for like freshman year of high school, sophomore year maybe. And then it would be like we'd start giving them crap.
How'd they pierce you?
It was.
They just wait till all the old style was gone. Danny was the first to go down. And then, boom, you woke up with a dangly one.
No, we've never done that to anybody, actually.
But you've thought of it?
Well, now I have. That's a good idea. But no, it was just you got to heat the needle up. I think, what is it? You dab it in some kind of sort of alcohol or whatever, and then you just got to tough it out.
Rum?
Yeah, something like that. But what about you?
No, man. I had like a stick-on earring when I was a goofball in 7th grade.
Like the magnetic one? Or?
Well, so it was like a sticker. I wanted to see how it would fly over.
Okay.
And then I got the mother of all, the eyebrow-raised look as he looks up from his newspaper. Like, what the hell? Do you want to keep that ear? So it was gone.
Yeah. That's how it went with me, pretty much.
So our dads probably both like Miller Lite together.
Yep.
Caller 5 right now. Caller 5 right now. Jimmy Buffett night seats for you. Great seats for the Salt Dogs. Be caller 5 right now. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 5. Some Salt Dog tickets for Saturday. Jimmy Buffett night. We'll have more seats to give away for you as they'll be back in town on Friday for a homestand that begins. So, yeah, caller 5 now makes it happen. 800-825-5865, 466-3776. These seats are incredible. I think row 10, section 102, and 8 of them. So you and whoever the heck you want to take can go. Great times at Haymarket. We will be back with you tomorrow. Phil Steele, Jay Moore, Dr. Petey. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity.